If you are a Christian, you are on a mission. If you are a Christian, you are on a mission. And actually, it's not by man desire, that is by the token of the salvation that you have received. If you have received this salvation, you are a servant of Christ. And so this service takes many shapes. You see, takes many shapes. From Sunday school teaching, border management, diaconal ministry, even greeting, every single service, even hospitality. All God's people are his servants. And they serve through the gifts that he has given them. That is what God is. And so even like when you give with your offerings to God, is you are serving him, you see. And so you can serve God by being a part of a prayer group that is interceding for the advancement of the kingdom of God. If God has called you to do that, that is a great service. So there is no single Christian who is not engaged in the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And you all know that the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, his kingdoms were so close to his heart. That was the reason he came into this world. When he came, he said, the kingdom of God has arrived. And he is the one who was ushering it. He was the one who was bringing it into this world, Jesus Christ himself. And so as he did that, he wants his followers also to do that. So we have no any alternative. We don't have any other job. Is to advance the kingdom of God here on earth by any means. You see, so you are to discover how the Lord God, if you have not discovered as yet what God would want you to do, you see, you might be an encourager of God's people. Some people, they can be just like really crushed. And then you come around and you say, hi, what is going on? And then you would notice how this person is being bombarded by lies of Satan. You see, when the Bible says God has loved us so much to the point that he would not leave us perishing. And with this great love comes deliverance, comes the signs of the kingdom, isn't it? That is what happens. When Jesus came, I'm taking you back. That is the context of what I'm going to share. There is a mission and also there will be persecution, isn't it? There will be opposition. These two things, they go together. Today, I want to focus briefly on the mission itself. You see, the nicest part of it. But because sometimes we don't like the other part, the hardest part of it, you see. But we know that there is no cross, no glory, isn't it? And so, and this is the beauty and the glory of walking with God, because it was not easy for Christ himself. When he came, that is what he said, Jesus went through all the towns and villages. There was a physical movement that was involved, isn't it? And we know that Jesus is a perfect man and perfect God, you see? And so when he walks around, the Bible says that he got tired, isn't it? He got thirsty. Yeah, you see, he was hungry. You see, he needed to sleep. You see, so a perfect man, and so as he was going through these towns and to advance the kingdom of God, there was effort there. You see, let us not forget this. And then as he went, because it was so important, and also we know that God has his own way of doing things. And Jesus always calls us to do things his way, not our way. And now this is how he was doing his ministry. When he was going through all those towns and villages, he was teaching in their synagogues. He was teaching them about the character of God. You see, the principle of this faith. He was teaching them about how God wants to live in union with his own people. That was what he was teaching. And then also he was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And how do we explain that? In those days, when the king would want to send a message, they would send heralds, people who would just announce that. And people would just come out in thousands to hear the message from the king. You see, so when Jesus was going about, he was like proclaiming, saying that the kingdom of God has arrived. And so that was drawing the attention of people. You see, that the kingdom of God is here. And also the nature of this kingdom, Jesus Christ was also healing with the power of God. He was healing those who were sick. Why he was doing that? Because Jesus was coming to fulfill a promise that God has made in the Old Testament. That when the leaders of Israel, they failed to look after God's people, to look after them, to pray for them, even to heal them. Because even in the Old Testament, you see the prophets were there and Levites, people were getting healed actually. You see, Naaman of Assyria and the second king, isn't it? So he came because the God of Israel is a God who heals, Jehovah Rapha. And Jesus was not inventing new wheels. He was fulfilling. You see, he was just bringing, affirming to God's people that this God is God who saves, is God who heals, is God who is the refuge. You see, and so when Jesus came, he was just revealing the hearts of God to God's people. And then he saw them, the crowd. And Jesus had compassion because the crowds had no leaders to heal them. The crowds were harassed, were weak, were lost. No one was guiding them in the ways of the Lord. No one was comforting them. No one was bringing the message of God to them, telling them that you are a holy nation. You see, you were redeemed from Israel. From Egypt. God brought you out from there as a symbol of the redemption that will take place for the entire world. You see, the lamb that was sacrificed. We read the blood of the lambs, which were put on the doorpost of the houses of the Israelites. And when the angel of death was coming, any house that had no really blood, they died. And they listened to their instructions. So Jesus Christ, he's so here moved by compassion. And he says, this is the kingdom of God. That was what he was saying. The kingdom of God is here. And when the kingdom of God is here, no one should be harassed, should be hopeless, should be helpless. No one should be lost because the great shepherd of his own people is here. And that is what Jesus really did. And that is what he is doing now. You see, he wants no single person to be lost. And because he is compassionate, he has a heart for these people. But the problem here, is what Jesus is going to address now. He's saying, look, I want to engage you here. I want to involve you. Now onward, you are going to be part of this movement. Actually, you are going to get involved. And it's one of the rare places where we would see a shift where the disciples are going to engage in mission themselves. And Jesus, here in verse 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And it will always be like that. You see? In our day and age today, it's not because God doesn't want to save many people. It's not because people are not really wanting to believe in Christ, as we sometimes say. But it might come down to very these single things, that we are not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we are seeking his kingdom, and then we would ask ourselves, how can we advance his kingdom? And then we would have like prayer meetings that are solely for God to raise up workers for the field. And that is what Jesus is saying here, challenging his disciples. He says to them, ask the Lord of the harvest. He is himself the Lord of the harvest. He asked him, you see, he said pray. He wants them to be engaged in prayer, asking God to raise up workers. And sometimes maybe we want to go to meetings and say, Lord, raise up the workers. And then you may not say like Isaiah, Lord, here I am, send me. And that is what is going to happen with the disciple, isn't it? He said to them, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers to his field. And yes, Jesus sent them. So be prepared when you come to prayer meetings like that. I hope we will have prayer meetings like that. Maybe the Lord will say to you, serve me in this capacity. And he will a strong laid on your heart. But he said, ask the Lord of the harvest Because many people today are thirsty out there. So I heard recently that the statistics really show that a lot of young people are hungry, wanting to find out about God, because they're fed up with what is happening in the world. You see, what is the direction for their lives? How can they live a life that overcomes the struggles and temptations? The Lord God is sovereign. He is working by His grace in their hearts, saying that there is no other place to go, only to Jesus Christ. Because when you put your faith in Him, you will have hope. You will not be like a sheep without a shepherd, because you would have come to the sheep of the shepherd, Jesus Christ, who says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I love them. And I give, and I'm a good shepherd, I give my life for the sheep." You see, Jesus will go all the way down with you in whatever situation you are. And that is why He is the good shepherd. There is no love, there is no greater love than this, that the one should give his life for his friends. And so Jesus gave us like the formula, how we go about doing the ministry here. And He will just shortly give instructions to His disciples as they go. That is the second stage. We ask, okay, here, how do we go about doing the ministry that the Lord God has called us for? That is a task that can be hard if you don't have the instructions from the Lord. But the Lord would not send you without an instructions, isn't it? Will not send you alone. He will equip you to do the ministry. Because in yourself, you will not be able to do that. I will not be able to do this. You will not be able to sacrifice your finance, your times, your talent, everything without Him pressing this on your heart and enabling you to do that. You will not go and love people that are unlovable like you before you came to faith. You were unlovable. We were not. That is what Ezekiel is saying to us in chapter 16. We were lost and left in our sins, kicking like a child that was born and was not wrapped. But then the Lord God comes here and picks us up and cleanses us and made us ready for a relationship with God. Because it's a holy relationship, isn't it? Where we have to repent of our sins and not to harbor any sin in our hearts. And you see, and to be appreciative and to be thankful and to be grateful for His salvation and the communions that He has brought us into as God's people. Beautified, sanctified, set apart for His glory, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with love and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, patience, love, endurance, long-suffering, you see, humility that you cannot buy from supermarkets. You see, the only thing you will get from the marketplaces is pride, competitions, things that are strange to your master, Jesus Christ, the meekest of all. Inequality, that is so good. No one represents them well and great like Jesus Christ Himself. No one. And that is why if you want perfection, it's in Jesus. If you want to love truly without, and actually we will get through that shortly. I'm aiming just like to not to do a lot, because I divided it into two parts. Next week we will have more time. I will be going shortly to Canterbury to present to a group of people who have interest in the mission, and I will go and share with them my mission endeavors that I have been doing. So I will be so brief. But the Lord God Himself wants us to be equipped and to be ready and to know how we can go about doing His ministry. So anyone here, young and old, can do ministry, because Jesus is the one who sends. And He calls, and His calls are true and are irrevocable. And you need to open up yourself to the call of God. Yeah, I think you have heard that when I one day, and he calls, he doesn't do that much. He just comes by His power, His Holy Spirit, as you read His word, and then as you read the word of God, and then He might speak to you through the word. And He will press it upon your heart and really make you be aware that this is unusual. This is not how I always read the Bible. This thing is so personal. It's directed to me. The Lord is just pressing on me. And this is what happened with me. One day I was just reading this chapter. During the day, it's just a normal day. I was just home by myself in Cairo, and I was reading, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nation will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name." And as I was reading these things, something mixed up. I felt as if I was the prophet myself. And I started to cry, as if the responsibility was being laid on my neck, that I would not keep silent. If you see me not being silent, it's because like this. It's because the Lord just called me not to be silent about his character, about proclaiming that he saves and he loves. And also he's about raising a lot of people. It's not me alone. He loves those who have come to him. And he wants to use them, even here in Clayton. He wants to raise up more workers for his field. And that is what it's all about. Is the Lord to speak to you and he calls you like he did here. He called his 12 disciples. He is beginning with them. And then to give us really a formula to follow. He called them. And again, they are recommissioned. Their names are being revealed to us again. Their names. God is God who is interested in our names. He knows your name. He knows my name. So you know that someone says it. The Lord God knows your name. You see, that is so personal. That is why when you come to someone, you need to know their name. And then when you call them, it's so personal. They call you by your name. That is what God does. He called their names. And I'm not going to go through all their names. You know them, the 12. And it's only here in Matthew that they are called 12 apostles. You see, he used to call them disciples, isn't it? And now he shifted. What is he saying? Apostle, those people who are going to lay the foundation of the church. You see? And we have friends, like when you do something new, they call you apostle. Now, I had friends when we started an educational center, and then we started to call ourselves apostles. So to this day, for 27 years, because we have done just something that the Lord God has called us to do. So if you go and you do something new, fresh, I won't bother. I will call you an apostle. But because some people would object to that. It is okay, because some people, they use it also wrongly. And now Jesus Christ has called this one to himself. And when he gave, and when he called them to himself, and then he gave them instructions. And these instructions are so important. This is where we get it wrong. This is where things go wrong, isn't it? Up to this point, it's fine. We are fine, isn't it? Up to this point, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Now we have 12 apostles. So we are not running out of number of people to go. You see? But the issue is, when they go, how are they going to present the gospel? How are they going to conduct their lives? Because their attitude, the way they do it, matters to God. Because if they go and they misrepresent Christ, he will say, "I don't know you. That is not me. I didn't send you." And that is why he sent them. And then first and foremost, to go to the lost sheep of Israel. He said, these are the very people need to know that the Lord God has acted on his word. The kingdom of God has arrived. The sheep of the shepherd has come here. You see, that's why he said, go to them. And remind them, because these people, when their hearts been hardened, because their shepherds were not caring for them. But now the true shepherd has come. And Jesus wants his disciples to follow in his footsteps. He said, go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Verse 6. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. Go to the people who were promised, who have come to know the provision of God. Go and remind them that they need to return. And I believe when revival comes, most of the times, you see the back is leading. They come back to God. Because Jesus is concerned that no one shall fall away. He revives them. He strengthens their faith again. He reminds them that even things were harder for you, now is the time to be revived. Come back. Come home. put your trust in me fully, 100%. And that is why Jesus gave them an instruction. Say, go to the lost sheep of Israel. Don't go anywhere else. There is priorities, friends. There are priorities in the gospel ministry. In whatever the Lord God has laid on your heart, do that. And that is why, I can testify to this, before really the Lord laid on my heart how to live as a Christian, you see, like the New Year Eve, they used to put like good movies, you see, at night. And my friend, they would have like a gathering during that time where they worship and they sing and so forth. It was hard to choose which way to go. And those who had no faith, really they end up watching movies. No saving faith. And I ended up most of the time really watching a movie. But now, if there are two things, and then things of God and the things of this world, and you ask yourself which one to give the priority, which way to go. And these things seem to be so simple, but they matter so much. They matter so much to the Lord. And here the disciples, they were told this is urgent and this is so focused. First, you go. That is what he said to them. Do not enter into the Gentiles. The time for Gentiles is going to come. But now, beginning from Jerusalem, beginning from Galilee, for this area, so for really specifically to remind God's people that the shepherd is here. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is near. And it's near for all of them. It's near for everyone. And then that is what it says. He gave them the authority. The authority to be able to proclaim. Because Jesus himself had the authority. And now he gave them authority. That is what verse 1 says. He called them to himself. And gave them authority to drive out evil spirit. And to heal every disease and sickness. And that is what they are going to do. He gave them authority. He gave them authority to proclaim the gospel of God and to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to cleanse those who have leprosy. Leprosy those days pointed to sin. And Jesus said, you will be able to do this. You will be able to do this not because in yourself, because I gave you authority. I gave you power. I enable you to do that. And every single Christian today, if you have faith, you are enabled by God to do certain things that you would not be able to do in your own strength. And the problem is for us, we are not using even that authority that God has given us. Because we are too righteous, self-righteous, to say, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't have that capacity. It's not your decision. That is the nature of the kingdom that is in you, you know. That is the nature of faith you have. Jesus in you is the one who will do these things through you because that is the authority he gave you. So let us not be to write our own religion, isn't it? Let us just simply follow what the Lord has called us to do. His disciples, they didn't say, oh, we will not be able to do that. They went at the command of the master because he gave them authority and power. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you come to know Jesus personally? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you have the love of Christ in your heart? That is a sign of his kingdom in your life, isn't it? And you have the authority to do that. You can come against the force of darkness in the name of Jesus, not in your own strength, and they shall flee. You command demons and Satan. That is why people pray against the demons that possess people. They come, I come against you, you demonic force of darkness. In the name of Jesus, you shall leave this person. And you pray and you pray and you pray until the person is free. How many people who have been healed as a result of the prayers of God's people? The Lord wants us to take this seriously. People go through trainings, and as you train, you are graduated, and then you are sent into the field and do the very things you have learned there. You don't go there now, you say, no, I haven't learned anything. You have spent like 5 years in engineering in school, you see? And now you are licensed to go and be able to do whatever you were trained to do. Well, here Jesus giving you the authority is a full training. And you are to embrace that with humility and with thankfulness. And the next thing Jesus is going to say, and this is so challenging. He said, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. The nature of this gift should compel us to do everything for free. And not to take the gift of God as an opportunity for us to benefit from this. The free gift of grace you have received should not be used for personal gain. Because freely you have received it and freely give it. And unfortunately, in our day and age today, many people have been empowered because they have come to use this gift, free gift of God, to enrich themselves. Mansions. Sophisticated cars. Great holidays. Because they have robbed God's people of their resources. Because they did not minister freely to them. And so Jesus was warning his disciples, telling them, like, look, you have been saved by grace and grace alone. You have been empowered to drive out demons and to heal people. Of course, it's glamorous, it's amazing, it's powerful, isn't it? But be careful. It is not for you to use it for your gain. If Jesus himself didn't use it for gain. He didn't have a mansion. He didn't have no place where to lay his head. You see, he limited himself. Even when he was going to have armies to fight his enemies, he restricted himself. He said he didn't come to crush and kill, but only to save. And Jesus warned his disciples, like he said to them, look, freely, don't get anything out of this. Why? He went on to explain this. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Because you will be tempted, like if as you do this ministry, you want to empower yourself. But he says he will take care of you. And when he says, like, do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. So the belts in those days, they were really large, a little bit thicker. And so you got long rope, and then you put it around, and then you put all your silvers and the things that you have, and then you tuck them. You see, then you go around as if you don't have provision. No, you have a saving there. So to look after yourself. And Jesus is saying, don't do that, because I will care. Also, you know, in Australia, and maybe in most of the Western world, the English-speaking world, they use this word, I will have this under my belt, isn't it? Even the word of God, you put it under your belt. You use it like to help yourself with when you face troubles. You see, you say, oh, this is scripture. I will just keep it under my belt. You see, making provision for yourself. You see, so Jesus is saying, no, do not do this. Because they use the tech bags for journeys. Or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, to protect yourself, for the worker is worth his keep. You see, and so Jesus cares. He cares so much. When he sends you to do something, he will supply. I know we in our weakness, we can worry so much when we don't have things. Let us face it. But we are to remind ourselves most of the time. That was what I was reminding myself when I was traveling. Because I was just booking things along the way. And sometimes it looked like I'm not going to make it. You see? And there were times where I was just like really worried a little bit. And then God was surprising me. You see? For the 4 days where I was in Kokomo, my meals were coming from nowhere. Lifts and things like that, you see? So if these things are going to hinder us going to the mission and going to this, to serve the Lord, the word of God is saying here that he cares. He cares so much. And I think that is a problem today, that many people would not want to serve because they think they will miss out. And this word also, the last word of this verse, is wrongly most of the time interpreted. For the worker is worth his keep. So they, this is how many people have done it in the past. They say, well, look, if you are a pastor, and then you have to be paid. You see, because the worker really deserves his keep or worth his keep. That is not what really Jesus was meaning. He said, I am the one who is going to look after you. That is what simply he's saying. Because the field is his. Therefore, us, the Lord of the harvest, therefore to send out workers into his harvest field. This field is not yours, it's Christ's field. And when he sends you into this field, he knows how to look after you. Many preachers and pastors, they close down churches simply because they are not paid. How about you go and find a job for yourself and you keep preaching the gospel of God if you are truly called by God to do it? It's not the congregation. And they do it out of their love and gratitude to serve God. And to look after a place like this, because it's not practical to do it under a tree today. There are laws in the land, isn't there? We'll ban that. But maybe if you were in South Sudan, you are free to worship anywhere. But here this verse is saying the worker worth his keep because the Lord of the harvest cares so much, he will look after you. That is simply what he's saying. That should encourage you to make up your mind to serve God with no thinking so much about a church. You see yourself as a servant of Christ. Even as you go into the community also, as you conduct yourself, you say, well, maybe the Lord has brought me into this place and made me to me and enabled me to do this. Well, these instructions are so important. And Jesus went on to say, whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. He will take care of this. He will lead you to places. When he says search for a place to wherever you go, let the Holy Spirit lead you to the places where God has already prepared. Because you cannot go searching that maybe this is where the Lord wants me to be. You see? And then when you go there also, he says, do not just improve there. Because the situation there may not be what you were expecting. But nevertheless, that is where the Lord wants you to be. And whatever they offer to you to look after you, that was sufficient for you to have. So the whole principle is here to rest on God as you go and do his mission. As he empowers you, because his work is to empower us, because we can never do anything without his provision. If the disciples are instructed or charged to go and serve in that way, these instructions also are for us to follow. Today I want to leave you with these two ideas. The priorities. God sends us to places where he wants us to be. And he will equip us beyond your imaginations. And there is also power inherent in the kingdom that God has given us. Because the nature of the kingdom of God, this is supernatural, isn't it? It's not natural. You cannot work it out with your mind. And don't try to do it. You just believe and trust that I am a child of God. And I have the capacity to stand before him and pray for someone who is in need. And also, when you observe and discern the activities of demons and Satan, because he is active, he does that, you need to have those eyes and discernment. This morning, Satan was so active. You see, I forgot my notes. But thankfully, I had to just, I live close by, just grab them. You see? So trying to do things and then to unsettle us. When you would remember when I came and I read, the Lord is our refuge, isn't it? and I could see the change in the people in the congregation. Oh yeah, maybe I was so worried and didn't know that God, I can turn to God and change my how I feel and how I think. When we come into the presence of God, let us just receive the ability to change our mind, to change our heart, to change even the way we do ministry. Change. That is what the Lord wants us to do. It's, if I look at myself, I will not be able to stand here. If I rely on my strength, I have no strength. And certainly you can say that also to yourself. Be honest. But you, with Christ, you are more than conqueror, isn't it? Those who conquer, they come victorious. But the Bible is saying, we are more than conquerors. Because Christ, his surpassing power and grace, is sufficient for us to do all that he wants us to do. Let us pray. As you are there, please ask yourself, have I come truly to the knowledge of salvation, to the knowledge of Christ? And then you can open your heart, because the kingdom of God is at hand, is near for everyone to believe. You see, and it is a free gift of God there to forgive our sins, because the blood of Jesus is shed for us all. And if you think like I've been doing ministry my own way, just trust him that today he wants to change you, to strengthen you, to enable you to serve him in whatever capacity he has called you, because he has endowed you with authority and power and skills to be able to do that. You need to pray along the lines of these words and say, I'm a child of God, and I'm so important in his eyes, and he knows my name.